And that was the first verse of Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord, which we are going to be examining on this Rumination Tuesday, May the 10th in the year of our Lord 2016. And with us, as usual, is our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Pastor Mark Smith.
Hello, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. Was that enough titles for you?
Oh, yeah, that was plenty. Yeah. Well, what do you think of the weather today?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is. It's really greening everything up, isn't it?
You should always say it's beautiful simply because we don't have to go out and water the grass the flowers.
That's right.
But
everything's so green.
Yeah, in fact, I walked into the men's washroom today and they had a big sign up that this is the place to be in during severe weather.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, do you want to start talking from there from now on?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, be hard to move all these microphones in.
It's a beautiful studio.
Yes, yes. All right. This, boy, on Sunday I said, and we're all looking forward next week to Ascension.
You know, I got confused this year. I don't know what it was.
I
got confused about when Ascension was. I don't know why, but I did. And I think Mother's Day came a little bit early. And for some reason that threw me off. I was thinking Ascension was a week early.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't talk about Mother's Day, did you, on Sunday?
Well, you know.
Okay, so that we hear enough of that.
Hey, look.
You know,
Christ is the center. You know, I mean, he deserves our worship. But I did refer to the blessing of motherhood. Yes.
Yeah, I dealt with the text where the one verse, same verse, it says you will go to heaven if you do the commandments. And that's what the New King James says. Uh-huh. And the ESV says, you'll go to heaven if you wash your robes.
Oh, yes. I know what passage you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the same passage. And so I spent a bunch of time in the sermon explaining how do we know which one is right. So I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. I said that the topic tomorrow is on the critical apparatus. And I said that in a Bible study. Everybody looked at me, critical what? They have no idea what the critical apparatus is. You know, it's that.
The textual apparatus?
Well, they call it the critical apparatus. Uh-huh. At the bottom of the page.
Right.
In the Greek and the Hebrew.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize there's thousands of manuscripts.
Remember how we suffered through that in exegesis at the seminary?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You better explain what exegesis is. No, because they hear the word Jesus there.
Exegesis is, of course, exegetical theology.
Well, that doesn't help.
Is that branch
word.
Of theology
yes.
that has to do with looking, you know, at the scriptures.
At the text.
Preferably in their original language.
And it comes from two Greek words, to
out.
Know and out of.
Right.
Yeah. So false teachers do eisegesis. They put stuff in the Bible of their own mind.
You're right.
So it's not Ascension coming up. It's Pentecost.
Pentecost.
And that occurs how many days after Ascension?
Let's see, about a week and a half.
10 days.
10 days, yeah. Yes. About a week and a half. Right?
Yes. And how many days after Easter?
About 50.
Yeah, in fact, that's what Pentecost means. So I don't know.
And how many days after Easter is Ascension? 40 days.
Oh, 40. Yeah.
Always 40 days, yes.
Yeah.
Always on Thursday.
It's always, you know, that's interesting. In the wilderness for 40 days.
Yes.
And then there's a lot of 40s in the
yes.
Bible. I can't believe. I mean, Moses was up on the mountain 40 days. I mean, there's so
And there's something to be said about
years.
That, but I can never remember. I can never remember.
It's you the know, same number.
Yeah, I know that. But no, I remember somebody saying something really profound about
oh, really?
The idea of the number 40, but I can never seem to remember the truth.
Yeah, I'm not sure which prof you're talking about, or because there's a number of people who go through the different numbers, 7, 10, etc. We had somebody email you after last week when we talked about the word Castle.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
And she was under the impression that the word castle is used in the Bible. I said it was never used in the Bible. And so I did a little study. So I thought we should answer her there.
Okay.
With that. The fact of the matter is a castle is a fortified structure that was built in Europe and the Middle East during the Middle Ages.
Oh.
The first castle was not built. And they make a distinction between a palace, which is not fortified, from a fortress, which was not always the residence for a nobility, from a fortified settlement, which is a public defense. And so the castle was really the place that the nobility lived in.
Now,
it's a European innovation and originated in the 9th and 10th centuries. But, of course, the King James was written in 15, you remember the date? Yeah, very good, in the 16th century. And they had castles. So they kind of just use the word castle.
Right. You know, if
but when you look up in the original Hebrew, it doesn't refer to castle. Okay. It's a palace or something.
The only question.
The old lady, did you
no,
say
No, I said the only question I have is, remember when John the Baptist was imprisoned by
yes.
Herod?
Yes.
And placed in his fortress.
That's correct. Fortress.
Wasn't that a fortress?
Yes.
Couldn't you, in a broad sense of the word, couldn't you call that a castle?
No.
In a broad sense of the word.
No.
Okay. All right.
Because castles did not begin until the 9th and 10th centuries.
Okay, Tom.
But
whatever you say, oh, great one. You hold all the cards.
Now they know we're gambling. Boy, you're terrible, Mark. You just put us in such a bad position.
All right.
So
better get with the hymn.
We need to understand that a lot of translators use modern words that really don't point to the original language many a time. And of course, the worst thing to read is what do they call those Bibles where just the thoughts are?
Paraphrase.
Very good. Yes, paraphrase. Boy, those are
like
terrible.
Like the Good News Bible was
yes.
one of those.
Yeah, that's one of the worst ones to read. But I don't find any English Bible as accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you need a pastor, and that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow with the critical apparatus. Right now, what is a good hymn? Well, remember I had asked you, what if Jesus had never been born? What if he had never died? What if he never risen from the dead? What if he never ascended?
We all be headed to hell.
But there were specific things with each one. If he had never been born, he wouldn't have been a human being.
Right.
Then he couldn't pay for our sins, because only a human being can pay for sins of human beings. If he had never died, he wouldn't have paid the price. If he had never been risen, Paul says you'd still be in your sins.
That's right.
Because he's still in the grave. And if he hadn't ascended, he wouldn't have been able to send the Holy Spirit, etc. So today's question is, what if Pentecost had never occurred? And so I want to take a look at the hymn to see if it gives us the theological reasons of the importance of Pentecost. So if you would please read, O Great One, the first stanza.
Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord, with all your graces now outpoured on each believer's mind and heart, your fervent love to them impart, Lord, by the brightness of your light, in holy faith your church unite from every land and every tongue. This to your praise, O Lord, our God, be sung. Alleluia, alleluia.
Yes, I don't know if you know the author. What are you looking at?
Well, it comes from the right time. This is Martin Luther. This is one of his hymns.
Yes. He's the same guy that wrote A Mighty Fortress.
I tell you, he writes more hymns.
I know that you don't know about.
I know. Well, they're all familiar to me. I just never realized he wrote this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't either until I looked at the bottom of the page.
Yeah, exactly.
It says Martin
you
Luther.
Got it. It's a great hymn.
Well, yes. Martin Luther wrote it. making me cough. All right. He doesn't fool around. Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord.
Right.
See, right away.
Right away.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit is God.
Yeah. There's, this is that thing we talked about last week. The logic of the Bible moves you to believe in the Trinity, even though it says there's three persons, one God.
Right.
And that's because the Holy Ghost is also God and Lord. It's kind of interesting. He appears in the second verse of the Bible.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, the creation, where the Spirit hovered.
Spirit hovers over the face of the waters.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, with all your graces now outpoured. Now, in the English, it's hard to tell whether the word your is singular or plural. But I would say it's singular.
Yeah, he's addressing the Holy Spirit.
From the Holy Spirit, right.
Now, is he talking about the Pentecostal outpouring, or is he talking about the Holy Spirit that is poured upon us today through the Word and Sacrament?
Perhaps if we look at the next line,
okay,
it'll be answered. What's the next line?
Let's see. On each believer's mind and heart.
Yeah,
so that would have to be all of us.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Right.
It's poured. Now, what does that mean, mind and heart? You see, this is where Luther was so good. He uses different words than are in the Bible. Like a mighty fortress isn't really what the psalm says, but it's an update for his day. And here again, I think he's referring to Psalm 51, where David says, create in me
a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
And that's what it is, the mind and heart, therefore.
Mind and heart.
So this is why we believe, teach, and confess that until the Holy Spirit gives faith, nobody can believe in God.
That's right. No one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Excellent. Of course, have you memorized the third article of the Apostles' Creed? I cannot by my own reason or strength believe
in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him.
Excellent, yes. But the Holy Spirit
has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified, and keeps me in the true faith.
This is really good, because Luther doesn't say the Holy Spirit has called me by the word. He says by the gospel.
Right.
Because the word includes both
law and gospel.
Yes. And
the Holy Spirit does not work through the law.
Oh, yes, he does.
Well, but does not save us.
The law is a means of wrath.
Right.
The gospel is a means of grace.
Right.
Both of them are used by God to bring someone into a right relationship. But boy, it's really important that apart from the Holy Spirit, until you have faith, none of the Bible makes any sense.
That's right.
Yeah. And
even though it's perfectly logical.
Yes. In fact, as I often say, if you ever want to know what we Christians don't believe, then read Wikipedia on the internet or the Post-Dispatch religion page.
For ascension,
a woman pastor, and as soon as I saw it was a woman pastor, I knew we weren't going to get the Bible. And sure enough, we didn't. She used ascension to prove that we should be vegetarians.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Oh,
why?
Man.
Because we're supposed to take care of the world. And see, part of that is being nice to animals. And it's not nice to kill and eat them.
Oh.
I tell you, what some of these pastors end up saying, which is, of course, contrary to the scripture, because what did they eat on the Passover?
They ate a lamb.
Yes.
Of course, right.
Yeah. So, but I just love reading the religion page, because rarely
it can be entertaining.
Oh, it is. It's quite. And it gives me so much fodder for law and gospel.
Yes.
Yes. Now, occasionally there's I think a prof in the seminary that writes in there.
Yes, that's right.
And he's very good, but I've only seen him twice in a year. So, boy, they really. It's like Facebook. They just heard that what they're doing is when conservative columns start really reaching big numbers, they cut out the numbers so a lot of people don't see it. You know, Facebook is just totally devilish. And people need to understand that. It can be used properly. In fact, we're bringing on...
It's just like so many gifts God gives us.
That's right.
We twist them.
Misuse them. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But this Zuckerberg guy, he's just such a liberal. And people need to understand that what you're reading on there is definitely biased when they push it. Well, anyway, going on. Your fervent love to them in part, Lord, by the brightness of your light. Any questions there?
Yes. Lord, by the brightness of your light.
Didn't you say you had a question?
Let me think here.
Well, we only have half an hour.
Are we in the second verse now?
No, we're still in the first.
No, my question was, or we're still in the first. No, my question was about the second verse.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll read that. Come holy light, guide divine, now cause the word of life to shine. Teach us to know our God aright and call him Father with delight. From every error keep us free, let none but Christ our master be, that we in living faith abide in him, our Lord, with all our might confide. Alleluia, alleluia. And your question?
My question is the line, now cause the word of life to shine. Is Luther talking about the eternal word Jesus Christ, or is he talking about his word?
Okay, you mean the Bible?
The Bible.
Okay.
Specifically the gospel.
When the Father complimented the Son, what did he compliment him for? This is my
beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.
Yes.
Listen to him.
Yeah, that was at the Transfiguration. So mm-hmm. he complimented Jesus for what? Pointing always to the word of the Father,
mm-hmm.
doing the mission of the Father. Why is the Holy Spirit complimented? Because
he always testifies of him, Jesus.
Yes.
Remember, Jesus says, he testifies of me.
Well, there's your answer.
You got it. So he must be talking about the eternal word, Jesus.
Yes. John is really good at that. In the beginning was a
word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Excellent. Excellent. And so I would definitely say, now cause the word of life to shine. Why do we know that in this hymn, the word refers to Jesus? Look the way it's spelled.
Yeah, it's capitalized.
Capitalized. So, I'm not sure. Remember, this is a translation from the German, but I think it's absolutely correct what you're saying, that there's always pointing to Jesus, and that's the mission of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah, that is a good verse that you talked about, where he will always testify of me. Teach us to know our God aright. That's called pure doctrine. When you don't teach your God aright, then you don't call the Father with delight. The Father, in fact, in every religion in the world, if they have a God, they're afraid of him.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
and
they're always trying to pacify him.
Yes, appease him. That's the goal of every religion in the world. Only in Christianity, while we rightly fear God because he has the power of life and death over us and eternal death, we also love him because of his mercy and grace. There isn't another religion that understands mercy and grace the way Christianity does, that God becomes your substitute in paying for your sins and then hands over the victory to you. Can you think of another religion that even comes close to that?
It's got to be divine. There's no other way.
And it's so sad when you listen to these talk show hosts, even who are Christian, they often will give the impression that every religion is the same because the main goal is to love your neighbor and miss everything totally. No, the main goal is to love God, to understand that he is the one who first loved us so that we can now love him. They get everything backwards. And so in every religion of the world, you got to figure out what the commandments of God are in order that you can make him your God. Whereas, remember how Exodus talks about the commandments? It starts off, I am
the Lord thy God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers.
No, not the first verse.
Okay.
I am the Lord your God. Then he proves he is.
Who brought you out of Egypt.
Yes. So the commandments cannot be there in order to make God our God, because he's already your God.
Right.
What does he say to the Christian? I am the Lord your God because I died for you on the cross. Now, you can reject him. That's called unbelief.
That's right.
You don't believe his promises. But that doesn't mean he's not the God of all people. And unfortunately, all...
He still reaches out to all.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. Because, you know, the good verse, for God so loved the Lutherans...
The world.
He get, the what?
The world.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I missaid that. Okay. And therefore, calling Father with delight. I don't know if you've ever counseled children who have an alcoholic father.
Oh, yeah. It's
just terrible.
It's rough.
And they don't have any delight. And see, that's why every other religion in the world doesn't have delight toward God the Father, because they fear him.
Mm-hmm.
From error, every error, keep us free. You see, that's what Revelation talks about. If anybody adds to or subtracts
right.
from the word.
That was the epistle for this last Sunday.
Yes.
Yes.
I know. That's why I mentioned it. let none but Christ our master be. Now, even when we sin, we still make Christ our master through repentance. Because repentance is always directed toward Jesus Christ. I'm sorry for what I have done to you. In fact, I had a study with a Chinese church last week with their youth on Friday night. I got to Emmanuel, and I could not find a parking spot.
Is that right?
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
And the lady who set up the Bible study, her name was Becky. So I said, boy, I got to compliment her.
They filled the parking?
They filled the parking
no
lot.
No kidding.
And
well, you know, I've heard.
No.
Okay. All right.
So I walked into the gymnasium, and guess what? The parochial school had their play going on.
everybody came to see their darling
that's
perform.
Right, that's right. That even my daughter was there because she had gone to that school, and Luther had made lightning sounds during the play when he was there, my son. So, and everybody was remembering that. And then when I went over to the Chinese church, it was just a handful of kids. But I'm not kidding. I couldn't find a parking spot. And what I talked to them about, I said, every time you sin, you are, no matter what commandment it is, you're taking a gift from God and throwing it back at him and spitting on his face on the cross. That's what sin is. It's an act of idolatry. So that's how we try and keep the word straight. Okay, final stanza.
Come, holy fire, comfort true, grant us the will your work to do. And in your service to abide, let trials turn us not aside. Lord, by your power prepare each heart, and to our weakness strength impart, that bravely here we may contend, through life and death to you our Lord ascend. Alleluia, alleluia.
Isn't that interesting? I think if you ask any Christian on Judgment Day, to whom will you ascend, they will always say, Jesus. But as you just read, through life and death to you our Lord ascend. In other words, remember Romans? You don't know how to pray as you should, but the Holy Spirit
right.
takes those prayers.
So it says through life and death to you, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, our Lord, ascend.
Yes. That we're ascending to the Holy Spirit when we pray.
Oh yes.
Yes.
How about that? Yeah.
Well, that's what
yeah.
it says.
Huh.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, you're right. I think most people would say we ascend to Jesus.
I know. In reality, we ascend to all three. Yes. Come, holy fire, it says. Why fire?
Well, we think of the fire, the tongues of flame that settled on the disciples' heads.
Yes.
On that day of Pentecost.
And what does John the Baptizer say? I baptize you with water, but...
But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Yeah.
Now, is he talking there about Pentecost?
I think so. Because, well, the word fire, see, come holy fire, it fires you up for Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And so that,
he's not talking about the judgment of fire.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, you think he's talking about the Pentecostal fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I do, and even on Judgment Day, it's
that's
just
a good, you know, that is a good passage to remember when you're talking about immersion baptism as opposed to just pouring the water on the head.
Oh, that's right.
You know why?
You better tell us where you're preaching.
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. We have services Saturday at 5 p.m. At Prince of Peace Lutheran Church here in Crestwood, just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection, and then Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
And Crestwood is a city kind of southwest.
Southwest suburb of St. Louis.
Yeah, southwest suburb
of St. Louis. Just about a mile from the International Center.
And what's the Bible study going to be on?
Bible study is on law and gospel.
Well, that's something. Have you ever done that before? Okay. All right. I'm Tom Baker. With us, Mark Smith. Tomorrow, the critical apparatus.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.